Well, glory, glory, glory. Welcome to Christian Growth Center. We like to say it's the exploding word and worship center of the New River Valley. I am Pastor Todd Hallinan, and I am so thankful, so glad that you decided to join us online today. Yes, I am still preaching to an empty church, but thank God the tomb is still empty as well. Hallelujah. Don't you know that we celebrated that last week? The risen Savior, the risen Christ. He is no longer in the grave. He is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me, and that's good news. Amen. So I hope you're encouraged by that. Listen, I want to jump right into it this morning, and I want to encourage you today. How many need to be encouraged? We all need to be encouraged every single day. Every single day we need to be encouraged because we live in a fallen world, amen? But we can be encouraged, and I hope you're encouraged today by the Word of God, amen? So let's start. Let's jump right into it. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Psalm 46. You know, if you need to be encouraged, the Psalms are a perfect place to start. Wonderful. Wonderful stuff contained in all of those verses in the Psalms. Amen. Every chapter, every verse has something. How many know that the Word of God, every single word in this book is inspired of God and has the ability to change your life, change your mind, renew your mind? That's why he encourages us, and I encourage us to get in the Word every single day if you can, or at least have it on your mind. Amen? So turn, right? Psalm 46. Are you there? And I'm going to start in verse 1. I'll be reading out of the King James. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea? I don't know if you can see my background, but there's a tumultuous sea back behind me there. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Wow, let me just read that again. God is our refuge and strength. Listen, you need to be trusting in God. He is your refuge and strength and very present help in trouble or in times of need. Amen. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. And that Selah just means pause. Just take a moment. Take a moment out of your day to think about that. Think about the mighty God who created the earth, the stars, the universe. Think on Him. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your very present, right now, help in your time of trouble. Amen? That's encouraging. That is encouraging. No matter what happens, you need to be established in your faith so that even if the mountains crumble down around you, if the mountains, we live in the mountains here, the Blue Ridge Mountains, if they started to fall on top of us, we would not fear. Amen? We don't have to fear because God is our strength and our refuge. Whatever comes my way, I will not fear because God is my point of reference. He is my point of reference. He is what I refer back to when anything comes my way. He is what I refer back to. He is fixed. Think of it this way. For you back porch astrologers, the North Star, right? The North Star, you know, sailors in olden times used to travel and guide their ships by the North Star. Why? Because it's always fixed. Why is the North Star always fixed? And really the only star in the sky that we can see, the brightest star, I should say, in the sky that we can see that is fixed. It's because of this. I got a little prop. All right, this is a low-budget prop right here. This is a grape with a toothpick stuck through it. Now, if you can imagine, all right, the grape is the earth, And the toothpick is the axis of the earth, which the earth spins around. Okay? Well, the reason that North Star is always fixed is because it, think of it as being at the point of this toothpick. So it is fixed. Even as we're going around the sun, orbiting around the sun, that point is fixed. And anywhere you're on the earth where you are, that North Star is going to be fixed. Okay? Science experiment over. I'm going to eat that grape. But listen, the world may be spinning around, right? But that North Star is always fixed. It's always positioned close to that line through the Earth's axis, projected into space. That is how God is and should be in our hearts. Fixed. No matter what the craziness spinning around us, we can always look to God and be established. Amen? I'm choking on my grape here. Let me get it down. Good thing I got some water. We can always be established when we point to God, when we look to God. Amen? He is fixed. He's the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. He's unmovable. Unmovable. Unshakable. No matter what is going on around you, if you look to God, if you will point to God, make Him your point of reference, then you can be unshakable. You can fear not. Amen? Hallelujah. Last week we celebrated the risen Christ. How many know He is still risen? Hallelujah. I hope that day star arose in your heart. Some of you that may be watching that have never asked the day star, Jesus, the Christ, into your heart. I hope that you did that. And if you do, listen, you can make comments on here. Send me an email. Go to our website, cgcchurch.com. Share with us what these messages have meant to you. Or you can share them right there in the comments. We also talked about speaking to your storm. Remember, whatever your current storm is, are you speaking to it? Are you speaking to it? Why is it important to speak to it? And what do I mean by that? What do you mean, speak to my storm? Speak to... We go through storms of life, and we need to be talking to Him. Him and them. Amen? Why can't I just believe? Why, Todd, can't I just believe that this storm that I'm going through in my life is just going to calm down, it's going to go away? Well, it starts with belief, yes. You have to believe in your heart, yes. But there is power in the spoken word, amen? Let's go all the way back to Genesis. Let's take it back to the very beginning, okay? All the way back to the first book of the Bible. And I'm not going to read this entire chapter, chapter 1, but I'm going to highlight a few phrases for you. I'll just read the first sentence, but it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." In verse 3 he said, "God said, let there be light." Verse 6 he said, "God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." In verse 9 he says, "God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered." In verse 11, he said, "God said, let the earth bring forth grass." 14, he said, "God said, let there be lights in the firmament." Verse 20, "God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures." Verse 22, "God blessed them, saying." Verse 26, "God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness." 28, "God blessed them, and God said, oh, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Hallelujah. Verse 29, "God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed." Verse 31, so after all of this, God said, He was creating the universe by saying, by speaking it out of His mouth. And then in verse 31, what did He say? "And God saw everything that had been made, and behold, it was very good." After He had said it, then He saw it. Amen? That is the power of the spoken word. God said it, and then he saw it. It doesn't say that God believed it. Doesn't say God wished it. Doesn't say he imagined it. Doesn't say he hoped for it. Said God said, he spoke it out of his mouth, out of his being, and it was so. And that is a precedent. He set the precedent for us. How many know what a precedent is? Let me give you a definition. I love this. This is out of the Merriam-Webster 1828 version. If you don't have that version, you can get it online. But 1828, you know, it has a lot of biblical references and the definitions of those words. But this is what precedent means. Something done or said that may serve or be adduced as an example to authorize a subsequent act of the like kind. Let me share that again. Something done or said that may serve or be adduced as an example. He was giving us an example to authorize a subsequent act of like kind. God set the precedent on how things were to be brought into existence. And then we, you and I, the church, come on, say it. Say it with me. I am the church. You and I are the subsequent act. We were created in His image, in His likeness. Think about you Christians out there that when you got born again, how did you get born again? You believed in your heart. You confessed it with your mouth that Lord, the Christ, Jesus, is my Savior. Amen. He's my Lord and Savior. You spoke it. You spoke it forth. In fact, let's read that. I've got it listed here. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. This is out of the Amplified, but it says, but what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith. The word of faith which we preach. We preach the word of faith here. Amen. Faith in God. Faith in His Son, Jesus. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and in your heart believe, that means you adhere to, you trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes and so is justified, declared righteous and acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he confesses, he declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. Now, we talked about that word salvation, and it means so much more than just being saved from hell. You are saved from hell when you receive Jesus. You are saved from the second death. All right? You are saved from the lake of fire when you receive Jesus into your heart, just like we share, and speak it out of your mouth. You are saved. But that word salvation means so much more. It means welfare, prosperity, deliverance, preservation, salvation, safety. But we confirm it. We confirm that we believe with the words of our mouth. Verse 13 in that same chapter says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word call means to proclaim, to announce, to honor. When you call upon His name, you honor His name. You proclaim Him. You announce Him. And when you do that, you shall be saved. And that word saved means all those things we just shared. Or you can say you just simply speak it out. So speaking out in faith confirms our salvation, or we can say it this way, our deliverance, right? If speaking out in faith confirms our deliverance, remember we're talking about storms of life, then we should be speaking to the storms in our life. Better yet, speaking or saying or proclaiming our deliverance from the storm. Amen? Remember, storms in life will happen, right? I mean, the Word tells us tribulation is in the world, and there will be trials and tribulation and storms happening all around us. C-19 is not the first. COVID COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever you want, name you want to get, COV, SARS-2, whatever they're calling it. Listen, every name that is named must bow to the name of Jesus. You've got to understand that. Every name out there, I'm glad they gave it a name, because when you name something, you got to understand that it will bow to the name of Jesus. Amen? It must bow down. C-19 must bow down to the name of Jesus. But we have to be speaking that out. Speaking it out. C-19 is not the first storm in your life, and it won't be the last. I can assure you, as long as you are in this earth, there are always going to be storms. Nikki and I, we have been through some storms in our life. Storms in our life. And I could sit here and tell you and testify of how we've been delivered out of storm after storm after storm. Always, always we come out on the other side stronger and better and more equipped to face the next storm. Amen. That's the beautiful thing about it, because the trying of our faith leads to what? Let's look at that. Let's see what the Word says about the trying of our faith, about the storms that come in your lives and try your faith. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials," or storms we could say, "of any sort, or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving," we could say trying, "the trying of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing." When we are perfectly and fully developed, listen, when you are perfectly and fully developed, you can control this member right here, your tongue. And how do we get fully developed and perfect? By weathering the storm, applying our faith, speaking our faith in the midst of the storm, and getting through to the other side of the storm. That is how we develop our faith and perfect it so that we can control our tongue. Just two more chapters down in James 3, verses 2 through 10. Let me read about this perfect and fully developed character that I'm talking about. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, "For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man." If you can control this little member, then you are fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. If we set bits in the horses' mouths to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things." See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze. "And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell," or Gehenna. Verse 7, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius or nature. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness." We just read that in Genesis. "Out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. These things, my brethren, ought not be so." But then James takes it even further. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 26, he takes it even further. He says that the Christian who doesn't bridle or control his or her tongue, their service to the Lord is worthless. Talking about speaking to the storms of your life. Using this member to speak life and not death. James 1, 26 says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, that is piously observant of the external duties of his faith and does not bridle his tongue, but deludes his own heart, this person's religious service is worthless, futile, barren, means nothing if you don't control this member. Why? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can speak death through this, and that's what that scripture was talking about we just read in James. He's talking about a small little flame of fire, that spark, setting a whole forest ablaze. How many have ever built a campfire and you've seen the embers rising up and the wind carries them off and they light on the ground and it's dry enough and that spark, that little ember, falls on the ground and ignites and can set a whole forest ablaze. We have a fire pit out in our back and we've got this stump that we've been trying to burn. And so I poured some stuff on it and we were burning it one night. Well, I came back and we put it out. I came back the next day. We had a lot of wind and that thing was, darn if that thing wasn't smoking again. And the flames actually had risen. So even when you think it's out, man, it can set a forest. I'm talking about the tongue, can set a forest aflame. I quoted Proverbs 18 there. It said, a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. And with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for life or for death. Why am I saying all this? Get a saying. Why am I saying all of this? Because I want to encourage you to speak to your storms. You are not without hope. You have the hope in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You have hope in the Word of God. I just read in James that no man, you're like thinking, no man can tame the tongue. You just read it. No man can tame the tongue. That's true. No man can on his own. But with the help of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, because Jesus rose from the dead and sent his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us, we have his help. His help to put a guard on our mouth about what we say. And yes, what we say about others, true. You know, we ought not be out there bashing people, talking bad about people, gossiping about people. But more importantly, what I want you to get today is what you say about yourself and your own life. And the storms that you are facing. You need to speak in the middle of your storm and encourage yourself. Minister life to yourself. And I know it's different for each situation, but I'm telling you, if you say the wrong things, then you're going to be sinking in the boat with the disciples. They were getting ready to drown. They were drowning. They were in the middle of that storm and they were drowning. They didn't know what to do. Jesus, the Son of God, right there asleep in the back of the boat, and they're frantic. Don't know what to do. Some of you are that way. I pray you're not. I pray that you have the peace that passes all understanding residing on the inside of you. But what a shame it would have been for those disciples to have perished when Jesus was right there with them. Remember what I just read in Psalm chapter 46? God is our very present help. God, Jesus, was right there in the boat with them. and they were fearful that they were going to perish. Listen, I am speaking to someone here right now. God is with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter how bad you think it is, no matter what the outcome, God is with you, and you need to be speaking your faith in the middle of that storm. And I know it's hard. Listen, I've gone through some storms, and I know when you're in the middle of it, how hard it is to speak faith. But you must. Why? Your life may depend on it. Your life may depend on it. And you need to speak life. Because the power of life is right here. Right here. What a shame it would have been for them to perish when the Son of God was right there. At least they had the wherewithal to get Jesus involved. And I'm telling you, you can too. You can get Jesus involved in your storm. Why? How can you do that? Because He lives on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. He is right there with you. But what did He say to the disciples after they had woke Him up? After they finally decided to get Him involved on their side. What did He say? Oh, ye of little faith. Why did He say that? Because they had the power and authority to speak to the storm themselves. But they didn't believe it. And they didn't speak it. So guess what? They didn't see it. God said, and then God saw. That is the precedent for you and I, born again believers. We speak it, and then we see it. Speak it by faith. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We speak it forth by faith. And then I believe we will see it with our natural eye. They could have spoken to their own storm. So I'm here to tell you today, you can. You can speak to the storms of life. Raging all around you, like we read in Psalm 46, that tumultuous sea raging all around you. The waves are over top of your head. They look like they're going to crash down on you at any moment. The mountains by the coast line are falling into the sea and creating this whole disruption. COVID-19 is creating this whole disruption in the world around us, just like mountains falling on us and storms happening and seas raging. But guess what? You can speak to that storm. You have authority to speak to that storm. Amen? Father, I just want to pray for you right now. For all those under the sound of my voice watching this video, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to them, speaking to their heart, ministering to them, quickening the Word of God to them right where they are. And they are speaking to the storms in their life. They are speaking to whatever trial, tribulation, temptation that they are going through. They're speaking to it. And as they speak in faith, I believe they're going to see results. You're the same. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, God, you don't change. You spoke things into existence. We're to speak life into existence in our heart. And I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice gets a revelation of that today. I want you to be encouraged that you have the power to speak life to your storms. Do you believe that today? If you believe that, say, I receive it. I receive that word in my heart like seed. I'm going to plant it in the good ground of my heart. And it's going to grow inside and come to fruition and bubble out of me. And I'm going to share it with the world. Listen, I encourage you to share these videos with everybody on your contact list. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Listen, if I'm not preaching the gospel, don't share it. If I'm not pointing people to Jesus, then go and listen to someone else. But I intend to point people to Jesus because He's the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters. So thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing and following this video series. And I believe we'll continue this even when we're back in the building. Because the word has to go out. This has started something in the church. The word has to continue to go out on the digital airwaves, if I can say it like that. So I hope you've enjoyed this today. Be blessed. You are blessed and highly favored of God. I pray that you are blessed. I know we're not doing much going out, but you're blessed in your home. Amen. You are free from fear. Free from the wiles of the enemy that would come and attack your mind. You are free, free, free indeed. Hallelujah. Share this with someone. We'll see you back here next Sunday. If you want to go to our website, cgcchurch.com, you can get more information there. Like us on Facebook. And again, share. Listen, share the gospel. This is just, you don't know whose life you may change by sharing this video. And that's not to say anything about me. This is, I say it all the time, this is not the Todd Show, all right? This is the God Show. If I'm not pointing you to Jesus, if I'm not pointing to you to God, then go and listen to someone else. Listen, just hear my heart. I want people's lives to be changed. And what if you were the change agent? What if you are the agent of change in someone's life just by sharing this, just by preaching the gospel to them? Be that agent of change. We'll see you next week, 10 a.m. Sunday. Love y'all. Bye.